This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, www.imemc.org, for February 16th through to February 22nd, 2008. The European Parliament lambasted the Israeli government's actions on the Gaza Strip, and Israeli attacks on the region leave 17 killed this week. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. We begin our weekly report with the non-violent actions in the West Bank. IMEMC's Jane Smith with the details.
The villagers of Bila'in, located near the central West Bank city of Ramallah, along with international and Israeli supporters, conducted their weekly protest against the illegal Israeli wall being built on village land. Israeli troops attacked the protesters. As is the case each week, the protest started after Friday prayers, with participants marching from the village center towards the construction site of the wall. This week, the theme of the protest was to mark the third anniversary of the continuous non-violent struggle of Bila'in village and the 39th anniversary of the Democratic Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the DFLP. As soon as the protesters left the village and walked towards the village's confiscated land, it was met with a military barricade set up by the Israeli soldiers. As soon as the protests reached the barricade, soldiers showered them with tear gas and sound bombs. As a result, 16 civilians, including one journalist, were injured and had to be moved to a hospital in the nearby city of Ramallah for treatment, where the injuries were described as light to moderate. On Friday, the Israeli army attacked a nonviolent protest organized by the villagers of Al-Hadar near the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem. At least 70 civilians were hurt in the attack. The Popular Committee Against the Wall and Settlements in Al-Hadar organized a protest to demonstrate against the illegal construction of the annexation wall on land owned by village farmers. Officials and members from the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the DFLP, joined the villagers in Al-Hadar today. Around 1,500 villagers, along with a handful of foreigners and Israeli peace activists, marched toward the nearby Israeli settlers' road, which is separating the village from its farmlands. The protest started after Friday prayers were held at the side of the road. Two speeches were delivered during the protest. One was by Taser Khalid, a DFLP leader, and Samer Jaber from the Al-Hadar Popular Committee Against the Wall and the coordinator of the popular committees in Bethlehem. Shortly after the speeches, the army attacked the protesters and showered them with tear gas. Samer Jaber described the soldiers' attack.
Farmers, their kids and their families tried to protest against the segregation wall. They marched toward the checkpoint where they planned to build the separation wall. But the Israeli soldiers stopped them and start fire some tear gas and rubber-coated bullets and sound bombs toward them. Therefore, 70 injured. We have high percentage of injured between kids and women.
Earlier on Friday morning, four unarmed Palestinian civilians were injured when Israeli troops attacked a peaceful protest in Al-Masara village, located south of Bethlehem City, in the southern part of the West Bank. Around 70 Palestinians from the village, along with international and Israeli supporters, organized a protest against the illegal wall Israel is building on the village land. Protesters marched to the village entrance, where the army blocked it with razor wire. The villagers wanted to reach their lands, but as soon as the villagers tried to cross over the military checkpoint, Israeli troops attacked them with batons and injured four of them. Witnesses told IMEMC that soldiers also spit and yelled at the young men at the protest in order to provoke violence, but without success. For IMEMC.org, this is Jane Smith.
On Thursday, the European Parliament lambasted the Israeli government's actions on the Gaza Strip, primarily the crippling blockade and the frequent attacks on the coastal region. This and more with IMEMC's Raphael Anderson.
The European lawmakers' resolution also called on the Palestinian Authority's President Mahmoud Abbas to reinitiate talks with the rival Hamas party in Gaza. Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni had early told the EU's ambassador to Tel Aviv that the EU should understand what she called, quote, Hamas's willingness to undermine the Palestinian people's rights by blocking establishment of a Palestinian statehood. The Israeli army has engaged in a series of deadly attacks against the group and other Palestinian resistance factions over the past year, particularly after Hamas took over the coastal territory in June 2007. The EU lawmakers' ruling came amidst a harsh humanitarian conditions in Gaza created by the 8-month-long Israeli closure of the coastal strip. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is expected to arrive in Jerusalem next week to discuss the U.S.'s concerns over the situation in Gaza. Hamas on Friday welcomed a European Parliament initiative to end Israel's crippling blockade on the 1.5 million residents of the Gaza Strip, most of whom are dependent on aid. Fawzi Barhoum, a Hamas spokesperson in Gaza, told IMEMC,
"We in Hamas appreciate this call and believe that it is a step in the right direction. The problem lies in the Israeli occupation. If this occupation halts all forms of its actions, including violence, crimes, assassinations, and invasions, then Hamas will be ready to consider any initiative that would put an end to the suffering of our people and lift the siege."
Rice will also raise such concerns during a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert in Japan in the upcoming few days, Israeli media sources reported. Also this week, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert met in West Jerusalem for peace talks. Olmert had earlier declared Israel's preference for talks over occupied East Jerusalem to be delayed to final status negotiations. Abbas refused any delay on the Jerusalem issue, saying that it was one of the core issues on the agenda and should not be postponed. Nabil Amr is media advisor for the Palestinian president.
"Based on the results of previous meetings, there are not many hopes on this meeting. However, it is a chance for serious talks about the final status. We will try to make the best out of these talks, which is an international obligation, and we will continue to pressure Israel through these talks."
Following the meeting, Israeli Foreign Minister Livni dismissed the possibility that Israel will engage in talks over the problem of Palestinian refugees. Some commentators view such a stance as an Israeli repudiation of the state's historical responsibility for the problem and an indication of Israel's plan to have Israel as an exclusively Jewish state. Israeli political analysts say that Olmert is attempting to keep his divided government together by halting talks over Jerusalem. Michael Warshawski is an Israeli political analyst from Jerusalem.
The Israeli Prime Minister is playing with time without any intention to risk any serious conflictual relationship inside his government and in Israel in general. I have no belief whatsoever that any Israeli government today is interested to really fix a real timetable to negotiate seriously.
On the Palestinian side, an aide to the Palestinian president and a member of the negotiating team, Yasser Abed Rabo, proposed a Kosovo-like Palestinian declaration of independence. Abbas disregarded the proposal, and top negotiators Ahmad Kuraya and Saeb Erekat refused it totally, saying that what is needed, first and foremost, is an end to the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories. In Gaza, the ruling Hamas party slammed the Abbas-Olmert meetings as, quote, a waste of time, and said that they were just aimed at bolstering the Israeli occupation as well as deepening the Palestinian division, with no apparent positive concrete results. The Palestinian-Israeli peace talks were revived during last November's Washington-sponsored Annapolis summit, in which both sides agreed to reach a peaceful settlement by the end of 2008. The U.S. President George W. Bush urged the two sides to reach an agreement on two states based on the 1967 borders, which would mean Palestine consisting of East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip. Israel continues to construct new settlements and expand existing ones in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, despite Olmert's promise to halt such activities. Last week, Israel announced a plan to build 1,110 new housing units in settlements in the occupied East Jerusalem. The Palestinian cabinet regards the plan, as well as other Israeli actions, as dangerous to peacemaking. For IMEMC.org, this is Rafael Anderson.
This week, the army invaded West Bank Palestinian communities at least 23 times. During the attacks, the army kidnapped 48 Palestinian civilians. IMEMC's Louisa White with the details.
With the addition of this week's kidnappings, the number of Palestinian civilians taken by the Israeli army without reason from the West Bank since the beginning of the year stands at 432. Also this week, Israeli soldiers harshly assaulted a Palestinian boy from the northern West Bank city of Tulkarem on Wednesday. Medics said that Mohammed Abu Zant, 14, suffered bruises all over his body after being exposed to severe beating by the Israeli soldiers. Witnesses said that Abu Zant was taken earlier in the day during an Israeli military incursion into the city. Three residents of the southern West Bank city of Hebron were injured on Monday, too seriously, when they were assaulted by the army. The third was injured as a suspicious device left behind by the Israeli army detonated near him.
Medical sources in Hebron reported that two Palestinian residents were taken to the emergency room in Hebron Hospital as they were severely bruised. The two got bruised as a result of being beaten by Israeli soldiers near the Abraham Mosque, also known as the Tomb of Patriarchs. Meanwhile, Hisham Abu Maria, 14, from the nearby town of Beit Omar, received an injury to his left arm as an explosive device, believed to have been left behind by the Israeli military, detonated at a close distance to where he was standing. On Thursday morning, the Israeli authorities in the southern Negev area demolished four houses, one shop and a public facility in four unrecognized Arab villages on the Negev. Hussein Rafaya, head of the regional council of the unrecognized Arab villages in the Negev, stated that the demolishing of the construction is part of an ongoing campaign by the Israeli authorities against the Arab villages in the Negev, as the government is expanding and constructing Jewish-only settlements in the area. For IMEMC.org, this is Louisa White.
This week, 17 Palestinians were killed in the Gaza Strip. IMEMC's Rami Al-Maghari from Gaza explains.
Two Palestinian fighters, members of the Al-Quds Brigade, the armed wing of the Islamic Jihad, were assassinated and one was injured in an Israeli military shelling to Al-Maghaz refugee camp in the central Gaza Strip on a Friday at dawn. A Palestinian child was shot and killed when the Israeli army opened fire on Palestinian homes located in the central Gaza Strip city of Deir al-Balah on Tuesday evening. Medical sources identify the child as Tamir Abu Shar, 10 years old. Witnesses said that Israeli troops invaded the area, and when confronted with local resistance, they opened fire on nearby homes and killed the child. Early on Tuesday, a Palestinian resistance fighter of the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine's armed wing was shot dead, and another was wounded on the central Gaza-Israel border. Medical sources identify the man that was killed as Ismail Jadallah, and the Democratic Front confirmed he was killed during an armed clash with Israeli soldiers manning the border. On Monday, Palestinian medical sources reported that one resident died of wounds sustained during an Israeli military invasion into Al-Shoka village in Rafah, in the southern part of the Gaza Strip, on Sunday at noon. On Sunday at dawn, the Israeli army killed four Palestinian resistance fighters and wounded 15 during ground invasion into the southern Gaza Strip city of Rafah. Witnesses said that an undercover Israeli army unit infiltrated into the vicinity of Gaza International Airport, backed by tanks on the ground and drones overhead. Israeli media sources said that the Israeli soldiers clashed with the resistance fighters after kidnapping 25 Palestinians in the targeted area, from which the Israeli army said Palestinians fire homemade shells into adjacent Israeli areas. The deadliest attack this week occurred in the beginning of the week. Last Friday night, an explosion ripped through the house of prominent leader of the Islamic Jihad in Al Burj refugee camp in the central Gaza Strip. Eight were killed, including Ayman Fayed, 42, one of the leaders of the Al-Quds Brigade, the armed wing of the Islamic Jihad movement. The Islamic Jihad movement said an Israeli missile caused the house of Fayed to collapse, while Israeli army spokesperson denied any responsibility for the attack. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Maghari in Gaza.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This is Sybil Collins and Ghassan Banoura.